You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Christine and the Queens is a singer, songwriter, and producer from France. Her debut album was first released in 2014 in French, and then in 2015 she released an English version of it. It was critically acclaimed, and she won the Victoire de la Musique, France's equivalent of the Grammy, for Best Female Artist in 2015. Earlier this year, in July 2018, she released this single, Doesn't Matter, in advance of her second album, Chris. Like before, she made a French version and an English version, but this time she wrote both versions simultaneously. Coming up, she talks about what that translation process was like and the possibilities it opened up as she takes apart Doesn't Matter. The song and the story first began in Chris's basement.
My name is Christine and the Queens. I'm actually starting to make music without any clear purpose, like flexing the muscle every day of, you know, sitting and writing. And this time around, I just started to, you know, I opened my laptop and I was like, I'm going to maybe just try and do a beat and we'll see where it goes from there. So I'm working on Logic Studio 10, mainly sometimes using basic sounds on there. And I just found at some point this kind of like morphing sound. And I warped it a bit and add some filters on it. The move of it felt really organic. Like it felt like taming an animal. And I started to do the bass line. And it was like, I don't know, I created this loop and it was hypnotic to me. Sometimes you get totally crazy over a sound and you're like, I don't know, something was quite groovy and at the same time quite animalistic to me. Most of the time in my productions, there are mistakes. But when you try to remove the mistakes, because I can hear the clicks of, I think it's the attack of the filter or something like that, and it's kind of weird. To me, it sounds like a spine. The attacks feels like, I don't know, the end of the bone. It's weird. But it feels like if you remove that, everything crumbles. So I was like, oh, let's keep the mistakes then. I remember that night I was quite sad. I'm a writer who desperately wants to relate to people, but I'm socially awkward. And I tend to be a bit tortured, right? Because I felt like I was not fitting in. To me, it was because I was a girl and a queer one. And being a girl is an immense pain in the ass today because you are made to feel not pretty enough, not strong enough. I mean, it's a nightmare to be a girl. I like it, but society is such as this that it's a nightmare. And especially when you feel like you're not fitting the norms and you're queer, it's a second problem. And with Chaleur Humaine, my first album, and everything that I received with it, warmth and acceptance and being listened to and understood as I wanted to, I was like, oh, maybe something is going to mend at some point and maybe I'm going to, you know, restore a positive narrative. Maybe it's going to heal me. But success never heals. And actually, it can sometimes even be harder to relate to people because people talk to you, but they don't talk to you because you're a projection of their own ideas that they have when they listen to your music. So I stopped touring and I was back in this kind of solitary life. I only felt comfortable on my own late at night on the streets. And I kind of started to build the beat around that. The pong, ka, pong, pong, ka came from my Logic again. The roughest kind of lo-fi sounds. There is a toughness that suited the kind of slight desolation I had. Like, to me, it makes me think of the loneliness in cities where when you really feel lonely and sad, everything resonates in your head as signs of desolation. Images of grey concrete and subways and blasts of klaxons and everything is a sign because it feels like the whole world is resonating through your sadness. And to me, because the beat is rough, it allows me to be sad on top of it. It felt less obscene to do it that way. And it felt like the right beat to be totally and utterly honest that night. I was like, well, shall I unfold totally? Like, shall I try to write the rawest, most exposed song I could write? And I was like, let's do it. You're going to hear a really raw a first draft, huh? Bear in mind that it was a first draft at 2 a.m. and I was crying, okay? I started with the first line and I carried on. And you can actually tell that it's kind of like a stream of consciousness. The track started in French, but I had to translate it. I mean, I wanted to translate it because I had the opportunity to release it in the US and the UK, and I didn't want to be an exotic, just French singer. I wanted to try and relate more. I don't know if people get my English most of the time, but that's very much me trying. But the chorus was immediately in English, actually. Doesn't matter to sit if I know any exit, if I believe in God, and if God does exist, if I believe in God, and if God does exist, it doesn't matter, does it? I knew I would have to have some translating process happening, because the song has two versions. But because of the pace of the French, it's quite wordy, it was kind of a challenge to make it work in English as well and have that same quality and honesty and sonically to have the same pace and melody. It's a really interesting challenge. It's like working the core of the song twice. Je m'attarde un peu sur comme ils s'aiment. One is my native language, one is something I'm still taming. Lingering on when they kiss. So it's different weapons, different strength in each language, and it becomes really interesting because with French I do have the utter intimacy, the poetic force, because I master it really well as a language. With English, I do have something more straightforward sometimes and more naive. And sometimes it helped me to actually move forward in the English version. It unlocked something and then I was back in the French. It really became something thrilling to work on. It doesn't matter, does it? I love working on harmonies. It's one of my great pleasures. It's like eating chocolate. If I know any exit, if I believe in God, and if God does exist, if I believe in God, and if God does exist, it doesn't matter, does it? I mean, it's quite a desperate chorus in a way. I mean, it doesn't matter, does it, if I know any exit, and if God does exist. But to me, the harmonies feels like something is resolving in a way. There is kind of like hope in the harmonies, which is interesting because the line is not so much hopeful. If I know any exit, if I believe in God, and if God does exist, if I believe in God, and if God does exist. The line is desperate, but the music says otherwise. And so then what does it create? Like, does it indicate that I'm actually going to be okay when I'm actually saying I'm not going to be okay? And if I'm cast out cause I wanted some more, and if this guy dances way too close to the shore, and if I could just push this torch on a wall, and if I turn a void, there's somewhere else to fall. This song is a bit like a Greek tragedy to me. It's actually theater as much as music to me, because it really has a theatrical progression. In Greek tragedies, there is like the figure of the hero is speaking, but there is a Corypheus.
The Corypheus is the leader of a Greek chorus.
That sometimes gives comments, you know, the hero is like, I'm not feeling good. And the chorus is like, you're not feeling good. And this song was calling for like this dramaturgy of a tragedy. The lead vocal is lonely and feels immensely lonely, but it's actually surrounded with the Greek chorus. And it just is coming from the harmonies. And it's just a different storytelling. I didn't want to add too much harmonic information on that track. I wanted it to remain really aggressive and bare. So the only thing to add was like rhythms instead of too many harmonies. The hi-hat centering at the second verse. Kind of like an extra information of rhythm that make the pace a bit more urgent. And in the French version, I'm saying it's rage that makes me go forward. And to me, the hi-hat is an indication of movement. It's like I'm starting to walk. There is a moment in the track where I really wanted it to get super intimate and almost naked before actually the track reopens again and I'm projecting my voice even more. It has to be almost like in theater when someone suddenly acknowledges the public and you get a sense of intimacy because the character is actually breaking the fourth wall and talk to you directly. And you're like, feel this close to the character. And I wanted to create that moment. And it was already in the lyrics. It's like, forget I said it. I soliloquize. Like, it's me breaking the narrative and talking directly to people. The whole track is actually my voice. I sang it twice and layered the vocal for it to be really thick. But this time it breaks down to just a single one, really compressed, like this close to you.
Forget I said it. I soliloquize.
If you want to be listened to, just don't speak too loud. It's actually way more efficient than if you scream at them. It's kind of like knowing when to pull attention. The whole rest of the production breaks. There's just like the bass line and synthesizers.
Forget I said it. I soliloquize. Stinging the toll.
And then it starts again with like. And I remember like spending like a week on that, like the right sound of like the for it to be hectic and not to, I mean, it's like doing lace details. Like it was finding the right kick who could distort well. And it sounds maybe deceptively simple now, but it took me a week to do it properly. So at that point in the lyrics, in the song, there is another character entering. And it's unclear if it's a projection, a ghost, someone I would want to meet and love, something I am. It's unclear. But I'm talking to someone who, in French, that figure is called le voleur de soleil, which means the sun stealer. And it's a figure of hope, I guess. And I'm just, at that point, I start to address that figure and tell him, run away, because I'm in the place of despair and he basically represents hope. And I'm like, just get away from me and run and steal the sun and go away.
Run if you stole a shot of sunlight. Yeah, yeah, don't ever tell them I've got your back. Yeah, yeah, choking to tears with shards of sunlight.
And the choir actually helps me turn this order into a lamento. I'm basically saying, go away, and the choir is like, go away.
Run if you stole a shot of sunlight.
Oh, red.
Don't ever tell them I've got your back.
Shame for you, kid.
Choking to tears with shards of sunlight.
You won't be found.
Run if you stole a shot of sunlight.
Please never come back. Oh, please, please never come back.
Sometimes you're surprised by what you write. I mean, writing the track, I actually realized how sad I was. I was like, oh, I'm really sad. Because it's a cathartic way of expressing yourself. You have to put your hands in what hurts you and, you know, in order to be raw and unfolded. So it's never like a pleasing thing. Like catharsis is not pleasing, but it's needed. I was listening to it and crying and be like, I'm so sad. I can't believe I was so sad. But, you know, I was like, well, this is maybe something other people could relate to it differently. Because I do believe loneliness is a great disease that is shared by many people. Yeah.
And now, here's Doesn't Matter by Christine and the Queens in its entirety.
Lingering on when they kiss, leaning towards this abyss, and of lately the only people I can stare at the unravel ones with pens laid bare, but they
soothers and me, like whispers in my back as if I couldn't hear. Thought I left goes behind, but they just come in me. Doesn't matter, does it? If I know any exit, if I believe in God, then if God does exist. If I believe in God, then if God does exist. Reach as a fabric, through and through. They used to do, cause the suicidal thoughts that are still in my head. Give her that awful side smile when I lay in bed. Doesn't matter, does it? If I don't know any exit, if I believe in God and if God does exist. If I believe in God and if God does exist. She's barely feeding, but she denies. Right by my leg, she passes by. Surrenders in the midst of the street, and the guys simply stare but continue to eat. It doesn't matter, does it? If I know any exit, if I believe in God and if God does exist. If I believe in God and if God does exist. It doesn't matter, does it?
Visit songexploder.net to learn more about Christine and the Queens and for a link to buy or stream this song. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com /TheBoar'sNest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/TheBoar'sNest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/TheBoar'sNest. If you heard about a sponsor in this episode and you want to learn more, you can always go to songexploder.net/sponsors to find all the current offers for Song Exploder listeners. This episode was produced and edited by me with help from Olivia Wood. The illustration for the episode was done by Carlos Lerma. Next time on Song Exploder, The Decemberists. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of fiercely independent podcasts. You can learn about all of our shows at radiotopia.fm. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. You can find Song Exploder on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Song Exploder. My name is Hrishikesh Hirwe. Thanks for listening.
I've been waiting all my life.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their 6th season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest, and then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.